We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, you who have gathered us here in your home, bless us, dear Lord, through the power of your word, that your word might dwell in us and blossom us into thankful and praising people. Guide us through this wilderness by the light of your truth, dear Lord, that in all of our coming and going we might glorify your holy name, now and forevermore. Amen. It is so good to see all your faces once again. What a thrill. I'm glad to be here with you. What an honor and privilege. 75 years ago, with great courage and sacrifice, a small group of believers from St. Paul's in Wilmot began a congregation here. How exciting those days must have been for them. One of the many challenges that they would have had in starting a new congregation is giving it some sort of identity. Instead of choosing a focused name like St. Paul's or Calvary or even Emmanuel, they chose the name Faith. Faith Evangelical Lutheran Church. Faith is a wonderful name. After all, Scripture says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Unfortunately, though, in our modern times, that word, that noun, faith, and its corresponding verb, to believe, have been mangled, stretched, and twisted in so many different ways, like Plato, in order to suit whatever a person's sinful nature might want it to mean. An example, without a shred of evidence, a coworker might tell you, I believe the boss is out to get me. Ooh. All objective fact has just been thrown out. By him using those two little words, I believe, he raises his or inflates his opinion or emotion to the point of irrefutable judgment. Another example. The Holy Spirit spits poison in our ears. When he comes and whispers, oh, so gently, have faith in yourself. What you want. What gives you pleasure? Whatever you think is really good and right. Don't bother by what anything God might say. Whatever is true for you, why, that's truth. Our Christian faith, on the other hand, is anchored on historical facts. Historical facts of what God has done, what God has revealed about himself, and what God has promised to each and every one of us. It isn't based on the whims of our own emotions or imagination as to what God might be like. Each Sunday, you come here and you display those historical facts of Jesus' crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. And here we have the painting of Jesus, the resurrected one, coming to doubting Thomas. And notice his words are painted under the picture. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus was talking about us. All those who would come to faith after he had ascended back to his throne on high. And we truly are blessed by our God. For the past 75 years, one generation after another has seen how God's word creates faith, which in turn believes God's word. It comes full circle. Now, there are some churches that mistakenly teach that if you believe strongly enough, God will give you faith. God will give it. They invert the noun faith and the verb to believe. We must possess the noun in order to do the verb. Believing comes from faith. It doesn't create faith. Parallel examples. You have to have a brain in order to think. You need eyeballs in order to be able to see. We need faith in order to believe. God doesn't call for us to create faith in and of ourselves. No, Scripture says faith comes from hearing the message, the good news of how Jesus has ransomed and rescued us and adopted us to be his own dear children. And so here, our problem lies that we are born without faith. We are born unbelievers, unable to accept the truths of God's holy word. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And he gives us that faith. He creates that faith. And then he uses that very same gospel to move us out into the world to live lives of faith. And that brings us back to doubting Thomas. Thomas was suffering a crisis of faith. We need to put ourselves in his shoes. That image of Jesus, limp, lifeless corpse, hanging from the cross, burned its way into Thomas's mind and heart. He couldn't unsee the horror of that day. And so he was distraught. He was in a mess. And his sinful nature seized that day of grief in him to attack his faith. Probably saying something in the order of, "Oh, I thought the Messiah was supposed to defeat the Romans, not be defeated by the Romans. Maybe this Jesus wasn't all you really thought he was going to be. He was a pretender." He was having a crisis of faith. But just as he's in the throe of it, here comes Peter, James, and John with the news. Jesus is risen. He is alive. We've seen him with our own eyes. But then our hearts are sad again with doubting Thomas's hard-hearted reply. "Unless I see the nail marks and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." He seemed pretty set in his ways, didn't he? As we watch Jesus now enter the room and reach out his hands and confront Thomas, let's ask ourselves a couple important questions. What is faith? What is this miracle that the Holy Spirit has done in us and given to us? And why is Faith Lutheran here? Good questions. We step back and look at doubting Thomas. At one moment, he didn't know Jesus had risen from the tomb. And the very next moment, Peter, James, and John came to him and with the good news, he is alive. The first aspect of faith is that it needs knowledge. We don't have faith in what we just created in our own imaginations. No, faith feeds on the knowledge of what God has done and what God has revealed about himself and what God has said he will do for us, promises he's made to us. Satan wants us to be ignorant of Scripture, also that he might starve our faith to death. Thomas's sinful nature didn't give up in that moment. No, it fought all the harder, saying something to the order of, "Thomas, dead people don't come back to life. Don't be a fool. Jesus is dead and gone. He's a big nothing." The second aspect of faith is to acknowledge that what has been revealed, what has been shown in Scripture, is truly true. It is real. Many people have heard that Jesus is God, who came and died for the sins of all people and rose victorious in 3 days. But they'll say, "I don't believe that it's true." They'll throw it out as a myth, a legend. Thomas himself had a hard time. What was his requirements in order to believe? "I myself need to see those nail marks and put my fingers in those and put my hand into his side." He had to touch living Jesus' death scars in order to believe. Jesus provided a turning point, an opportunity for doubting Thomas to rethink. He came to him. He could have left him alone and never appeared again, but no, he comes to him and he says, "Reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." How many times has Jesus ever told us to stop doubting and believe? Thomas was slow to believe. How often are we slow to believe every word that comes from the mouth of God? Stop doubting and believe. The third aspect of faith is that when we're convinced of what Scripture truly says, that we also recognize it says it specifically to us individually. On occasion, pastors run into a broken soul that says, "Yes, Pastor, yes, I know that Jesus is God and he's come to pay for the sins of the world, but mine are too bad. I know he died to pay for sins, but not for me. God so loved the world." Those words, "the world," includes everybody. But notice in contrast, doubting Thomas's reply to this encounter. He cried out in faith, "My Lord and my God." The man who once said, "I will not believe," now was bubbling forth effervescently, "My Lord and my God." Doubting Thomas wasn't only happy that Jesus was alive and walking around again. No, he was thrilled. It all came together for him that Jesus lived and died and rose to pay for Thomas's sins, even his sinful doubting, that in his resurrected Lord he had life everlasting. And it's that very same news that death and resurrection and all the other words that came from the mouth of God that empowered and compelled doubting Thomas, along with all the other disciples, to go out and be apostles out into the world. God compelled them to go out and worship and to tell everybody the things they had seen and heard. That same faith filled our forefathers and mothers 75 years ago. It moved them and compelled them, and they held on with that very same confidence in their Lord in order to worship and work, to raise their children in the faith, and to spread abroad what Jesus had done. to rejoice in the good times, and to hold firm in the challenging times. The founding members of faith didn't have a direct command from God to go down and start a congregation in Antioch. And so they wouldn't have been sinning if they did or if they did not start a congregation. But oh, they were compelled. They had no guarantee that Faith Lutheran would ever see its first anniversary, and yet they pressed forward. I imagine that their sinful natures were very much on the attack against them too. Oh, why do you want to start another congregation? This is going to cost you your time and your muscle and your money. Oh, you're sticking your neck out. This will all come to nothing. The first members of faith did not have faith in their decision as though it were from God. No. But they did have an unmovable confidence that Jesus was with them and loved them and would bless them. They had a confidence in what God has said through his word. My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Jesus' command to his disciples rung in their ears and on their hearts, go and make disciples of all nations. And in their weaker moments, they took great comfort in Jesus' words. Oh, do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Look at the much bigger picture. This little cluster of families certainly didn't seem able to support a mission congregation, but Jesus took their eyes off of how little they were and lifted them to how great our God is. That changes everything. Trusting in Jesus, then they began. They began a mission. They bought some land and built a church. They laid the cornerstone in 1955, a few months before I was born. I wonder if today God has given birth to a future pastor of Faith Lutheran Church. Some 30 years from now, maybe. Isn't it interesting how the Lord provides for us? Well, God blessed them and blessed them, and they grew and they grew, and God moved them that in 1970, they decided to start a school. Classes began in the church basement with 33 students and two teachers for all 8 grades. And God blessed them. 3 years later, they actually built a school structure with 8 classrooms. Faith Lutheran over the years have called many principals and teachers and pastors, always wondering where the money was going to come from. Always trusting that their Lord was with them. And so they used their strength, their voices, and their time to accomplish Jesus' ministry among them. Faith Lutheran called me to the congregation in 1985, right from the seminary. Oh, I was greener than a grasshopper. That was the first time that Faith Lutheran had 2 pastors on staff. Again, God continued to pour out his blessings. The faith family outgrew the school and the church. Members and visitors alike had a hard time finding an open pew or an open parking spot. So in the early 1990s, they started looking for new land to relocate. And they found this property and purchased it. They had the goal to pay it off in 5 years. During that time, Faith Lutheran received children from Ukraine to house and to educate. For about a turbulent year and a half, the congregation struggled through a doctrinal controversy. The result was that one of the pastors was removed from our synod, and then he resigned from the ministry here at Faith. In those days of grief and anguish, the sinful natures of God's people, were on full attack. What does that synod think it is doing? God's word isn't that important. Pastors should just be allowed to preach whatever they want to preach. About 100 families or 100 people left Faith Lutheran at that time. It was difficult. But God anchored the members of Faith Lutheran back into the word again. If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The members of the congregation mourned for about a year as God salved his gospel into their wounds. He lifted their eyes from themselves onto Jesus, their Savior. At that time, Faith Lutheran called Pastor Christie. The congregation's faith in God's word was more profound for having gone through those trials, that trial and that stress, because it's often in trouble sometimes where we have to figure out what is it we really do believe. What is it we're really all about? And God blessed them even through the difficult days. They blossomed in their appreciation of Lutheran doctrine and worship. And so the congregation, with renewed vigor, began drawing up building plans for the church and the school on this property. There were many unforeseen complications, challenges, and expenses. And so the congregation decided to build a sanctuary out here and convert all the property on Highway 83 into the school. At that time, Faith Lutheran called Pastor Ungemach. As the old saying goes, the rest is history, modern history. Through the pandemic and out the other side. More struggles. For the last 75 years, Faith family has sat with Doubting Thomas in that upper room and cried out in faith, "My Lord and my God." God's word creates faith, which in turn believes God's word, takes it to heart for what God has done and what God has revealed and what God has promised to us. Our sinful nature, well, that wants to trivialize God's word, even debate God's word with them. But God keeps on bringing us back to what's truly most important. Remember how God said through the prophet Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Do you believe it? Do you believe those words apply to you as a congregation, but also as individuals? God loves you so much, he has a plan. A plan for how he's going to bless you and be a blessing to others through you. Oh, how good it is to be God's children. Well spent is a life lived for the Lord. Please rise for prayer. We pray. Heavenly Father, how you have taken us through the wilderness. You have made us your own, and in every up and down, you have been there to stabilize us, support us, and bless us. Guide us ever onward, dear Lord. in our personal and group life, that we might bring glory and honor to your name by resting in your powerful words. Now and forever, may we sing your praise and glorify your holy name in all of our being. In Christ we pray. Amen.